I'm truly so grateful. I want to say on the front end of this conversation that however these topics, the topics of unplanned pregnancy, parenting, adoption, or abortion, intersect with your personal story, please know that you are fully loved by God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and his amazing grace. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Leah, and I am the development coordinator for New Life Family Services in Rochester. I started a little over a year ago, and I have had the humbling privilege of working with our church partners, our donors, volunteers, and clients in the Rochester area. And I am coming to you today not as someone who has all the answers, but as your sister in Christ who really cares about encouraging you as we unite and work together as the body of Christ to honor the sanctity of human life and ultimately proclaim the gospel for the glory of God. To give you a bit of an overview, my goal today is to cover the following things. So first, what God's word says about the sanctity of life, including some discussion points surrounding that topic. Second, an overview of the mission and programs of New Life Family Services. Third, a short ministry update about how we are doing right now, how we've been impacted recently. Fourth, a few amazing client stories. And then lastly, some practical ideas about how we move forward together in the mission to honor life. And if there's any time at the end, I would also love to answer any questions that you have as well. This year, New Life is celebrating our 50th year of service. And amidst all of the changes that have happened in our nation and our state, our mission to honor the sanctity of human life has remained the same because God's truth has remained the same. All women, all men, all children, both born and unborn, are created imago Dei, in the image of God. We have probably heard this and said this phrase many times, but it is worth remembering and really reflecting on today. God's word is where we need to start, and it is the only true foundation that this conversation can be built upon. On the very first page of God's word, we read that God gave humanity a distinction that is unique to man and woman. He created Adam and Eve in his own image. Genesis 1 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And in verse 30, it says, "And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." What a glorious truth. And how amazing that humans are lovingly created by, put a pin in that for just a second. Can you all hear me okay? Okay, great. How amazing that human beings are lovingly created by God and for God's glory, endowed with purpose, dignity, and beauty, even when they are broken and sinful. Remembering this truth has tremendous implications for how we, as followers of Christ, should view other people and their lives. The term sanctity of human life gets thrown around sometimes in culture wars. However, there is a deep theological conversation behind it. The concept of the sanctity of human life is the belief or moral conviction that all human beings at any and every stage of life, in any and every state of consciousness or self-awareness, of any and every ethnicity, level of intelligence, religion, language, gender, character, behavior, physical ability, potential, class, social status, etc., of any and every particular quality of relationship to the viewing subject, are to be perceived as persons of equal and immeasurable worth and dignity, and therefore must be treated in a manner consistent with this status. I am reminded every day that God knows each and every person he has created. He knows you. He is not blind to any living thing. He has called his creation and human beings good. I am sure that we have all heard some of these scripture passages, but I do want to take this time this morning to read through some scripture with you all. Psalm 33:13 through 25 says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of man. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works." Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." In the book of Job, in chapter 10, we hear a desperate cry from Job, whose God-ordained struggles and life he realizes are in God's hands. Job says, "Your hands shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit." Jeremiah 1, this is when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Luke chapter 1, this is when we see John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit while in the womb of his mother. Verse 15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." And then a little while later, Luke chapter 1, verse 43 through 45, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" I think it's amazing that in that moment, Jesus was in the womb of Mary, and yet Elizabeth was calling him already my Lord. And how amazing as well that Jesus himself came to this earth as a newborn baby through the womb of a woman. And as all of these verses speak to the sanctity of life in the womb, this brings us to one of our final passages today from the Gospel of Matthew, that speaks about how we treat, protect, and serve others who are weak, powerless, dependent, and needy in light of this truth, ultimately to honor the Lord and to glorify him. Jesus says in Matthew 25:45, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" With these verses in mind, I would love to enter into a short time of discussion, if that's okay. First, I invite you to take some time with those around you to answer this question. So the question is, what do you think it means to be holistically pro-life? And how do we, as believers in Christ and followers of his word, live this out? What do you think it means to be holistically pro-life, and how can we live this out? Feel free to take just a few moments with those around you if you would like. All right. I'm sorry to cut you off. Is there anyone who would like to share what they maybe discussed with their group? And no pressure, it's okay if not, but would anyone like to share? Yes, sir. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yes, the science is amazing. God's creation is amazing. And we look to that and we really rejoice in that as truth. And in the midst of that as well, we remember that being holistically pro-life means caring for all life. So the life in the womb that God has created and all life outside of the womb, the mother, the father, the grandfather, the family unit, and the support system that is there for the child after the child is born. Honoring the lives of all involved, those, like Jesus said, who are strangers, prisoners, the hungry, the thirsty, all women, whether they are considering abortion or not, all children, whether they are born or unborn, and all men as well, because we are all created in the image of God, and everyone needs support. My next question for discussion, this is the last one, but with those around you, I invite you to talk about what are the effects we are seeing in our world, our country, state, or communities of life being devalued, the devaluing of life? What are some of the effects that we are seeing of that? Take another maybe 2 minutes to discuss. right. I am going to stop you there. Sadly, we do not need to look very hard to see that life and God's beautiful design for life is being extremely devalued in our society. And the sad truth is that this, although our laws and the conversations around this may change, this is nothing new. We have always lived in a fallen world since sin entered into it. And the sin of devaluing life is the same. But just as the sin is the same, the answer, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the same. And while there is so much that could be looped into this conversation about the sanctity of life and this conversation, I don't know a ministry that could possibly cover all of the brokenness in our world. So at this time, I do want to narrow our focus to pregnancy-related situations, as that is New Life Family Services ministry focus. For 50 years, since 1973, New Life Family Services has been on a mission to honor the sanctity of human life by assisting clients in making life-affirming decisions with the love and compassion of Christ. The truth from Scripture that we just read is why New Life exists. It is our launch pad. And as we stand on the foundation of Christ, our vision at New Life is to one day reach all abortion-minded and abortion-vulnerable individuals throughout Minnesota with comprehensive pregnancy-related services and the message of the gospel. We also acknowledge that this mission is bigger than New Life. This is about Christ and his grand story of creation and redemption. And New Life, by God's grace, is simply one part of that, just as you and your church are a part of that as well. So New Life is a social service organization that exists to serve, value, and care for people and children in crisis who need support. Fueled by the truth that every human is made in the image of God, we take a holistic approach to serving those who are facing unplanned pregnancies, the joys and struggles of parenting, adoption decisions, or healing after a past abortion. And we provide this holistic support through three programs. So first, our first care pregnancy centers are our physical locations. Currently, we have five locations, four in the Twin Cities area, Richfield, St. Paul, one by the University of Minnesota campus, and one that just opened in South Minneapolis. And then we have our location here in Rochester as well. At First Care, our motto is no pressure, no judgment, just answers. We want our clients to know that they can come to us for information and for support, no matter what they are facing. At First Care, we have licensed social workers, registered nurses, and client care staff who offer free services like pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, decision-making counseling, STD testing and treatment, prenatal education, and we also offer a service called abortion pill reversal. Abortion pill reversal is a protocol that can potentially reverse the effects of a medication abortion after the first of two abortion pills are taken. We have seen several women for this service, and we are so grateful that they reached out to us for support. We actually had a woman come into our University of Minnesota office a few weeks ago for abortion pill reversal. She came in, had an ultrasound, and her baby still had a strong heartbeat. And to our knowledge, she is still pregnant today. And we truly praise the Lord for that miracle. And lastly, at First Care, we have a parenting program that wraps around families through education and material support. As we coach and come alongside mothers and fathers and children in the Every Family Parenting Program, our desire is that they would be encouraged and equipped with tools to parent well and to really thrive. I am not a parent myself, but I know that it is difficult. I can only imagine. And when parents are supported in a holistic way throughout their journeys, we believe they are much more likely to make life-affirming decisions. Through our parenting program and through all of our services at First Care, important conversations are being had. Accurate information about abortion and other options is being shared. Clients are telling their stories, and the gospel is being proclaimed to those who are really in need of hope. Our second program is our licensed adoption agency called New Life Adoptions. We started our adoption services in 1980 because we wanted to be able to provide all life-affirming options to those making decisions about their pregnancy. Since 1980, we have facilitated over 800 domestic infant adoptions, serving both birth families, expectant mothers, expectant fathers, and adoptive families and waiting families through the entire adoption process. We also provide home studies for embryo adoption, which is a miracle as well. If you don't know what embryo adoption is, it is when a frozen embryo, which we believe is a human life, is implanted into the womb of an adoptive mother, and then she carries the child through pregnancy and birth. It is truly a miracle of God. And lastly, through our Conquerors program, we provide support to anyone seeking healing from a past abortion through support groups and one-on-one mentorship led by women who have themselves experienced abortion. Group facilitators walk our clients through a 9-week curriculum that addresses topics such as grief, accountability for sin, emotions and guilt, forgiveness, the entire gospel message, and identity in Christ. The groups finish with a memorial service where women and men are given the opportunity to grieve as they continue to find healing and closure on that experience in their life. Statistically, 1 in 4 women by the age of 45 will have an abortion in the United States. 1 in 4. That means that when we are in the grocery store, when we are even in church, when we are with our neighbors, we are most likely interacting with women who have had an abortion, or men as well who were involved in that decision, or people whose life has in some way been impacted by abortion. And what breaks our heart at New Life is knowing that there are men and women in our very own community who have had an abortion and may never know the gospel and may never know the depth of forgiveness and freedom that comes from knowing Christ. And I do wonder if followers of Christ, if we are not the ones who in truth and in love are proclaiming the forgiveness and healing that is available through Christ, who will in our world today? If abortion is a part of your story or the story of someone you know, I do invite you to learn more about Conquerors as we offer several groups throughout the year. I now want to share a short ministry update with you as well. So New Life, as I said, is a social service organization that has never been and will never be about politics. But there are times, as we have seen this year, where what's going on in our world clearly affects the environment in which we operate. The past year has been one of those years, and I thought I would share how we have been impacted. So in the state of Minnesota, we have seen that abortion will continue to be protected up until a child's birth for any reason. Because of that, we feel that our work has never been more needed and more crucial. And as we believe this to be true, the events of the past year have put a target on organizations like ours. I am sure that some of you may have heard some of the narratives that are being passed around about pregnancy centers. Last summer, centers across the country were vandalized and even firebombed. And while we are grateful that we have avoided some of the most extreme opposition, we did endure a lot, especially this past summer. So we have had disparaging articles written about us, one in Rochester from the Post Bulletin, from writers who do not know what we do. We also have had several bus ads that we had with the Rochester Public Transit that were not able to be published, ads about adoption and decision-making counseling at our first care pregnancy centers. There were also flyers put up around our South Minneapolis location calling our first care center a fake clinic with threats of, if abortion ain't safe, then neither are you. We have had a handful of angry phone calls, some chalk graffiti, and small student-led protests near our University of Minnesota campus office as well. But the most disheartening, or one of the most disheartening things for us, was when our Minnesota Attorney General put out a consumer alert against pregnancy centers, stating some false information that pregnancy centers use scare tactics when talking about abortion and that they don't have licensed medical staff, which for all of our first care centers is untrue, and that's untrue of a lot of pregnancy centers around our world as well. Our executive director, Tammy, commented about this opposition in a letter to our supporters, and she said, "As discouraging as these attacks are, the truth is, the people hurt most by them are our clients, single mothers, fathers, struggling families, those who are sitting in the midst of crisis. I often think if those who oppose us could only see what we really do, they would surely change their minds about us." And then I remember Jesus. He led a perfect life, sinless, and yet was betrayed, beaten, and crucified. However, that was not the end of his story, and these attacks are not the end of our story either. Although the world around us may rage, although we are not understood, we continue to rejoice in the opportunities that God has given us to proclaim Christ. I want to say as well that the past year has not been all doom and gloom. Amazing things are happening because of God's grace and his provision for us. This has been one of the darkest seasons for our pro-life ministry, but it has also been one of the most joyful and encouraging seasons. We have had donors and supporters calling us to say thank you for what we're doing. The week after the overturn of Roe versus Wade, we had people stopping in to give us donations and to see how we're doing, to say that they're praying for us. We also have had a wonderful new prayer group start in our office. So they meet every Thursday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And they just had a burden to really be in our office praying for our clients, for our staff. And that has been one of the most encouraging things. So we are so grateful, and we are encouraged and emboldened to continue doing what we do best, and that is caring for the most vulnerable right in front of us. At New Life, despite what is happening in our world today, we know these things to be true. So we know that abortion will continue to be legal in Minnesota. Minnesota is a safe haven for abortion. And there has been a 13% increase in out-of-state patients coming to Minnesota for abortions, as well as an increase in second trimester abortions. And that is according to the chief medical officer of Planned Parenthood. The long-term effects of the number of clients that we are seeing as a result of the current events are yet to be seen. It is often difficult for us to track exactly how clients are coming to find us. However, our services and client numbers are constantly increasing. The number of ultrasounds that we have done for abortion-minded and abortion-vulnerable women is up 140% compared to this time last year. Our office is full with appointments, and we anticipate this continuing as the need for our services has never been greater. The second thing that we know to be true is that unplanned pregnancies will still happen. The number of clients that we have seen for pregnancy tests as well in the past year has also increased by about 25%. We also know, thirdly, that women, men, and families will always still need support, no matter what they are walking through. In the past year, throughout all of our locations, we provided over 2,000 parenting sessions through our Every Family program, about 1,300 of which resulted in a spiritual discussion about the Lord and prayer. Our calendar is also full with intake appointments for new clients who would like to be enrolled in our program. And lastly, the last thing that we know to be true is that women and men in our very own communities and around the nation still need the saving hope of the gospel. In the midst of all of this, we recognize that there are women and men in our city, the 1 in 4, who have personally experienced abortion and are feeling a range of emotions. We are hoping that this will lead women to find our Conquerors program. But again, this is yet to be seen. So prayers that anyone who needs to know the gospel would come and find us would be greatly appreciated at this time. Regardless of all political and cultural events, our mission remains the same, and we continue serving women and families as we always have. At New Life, each of our clients come to us with such a unique story and many unique struggles. And I think it is important to remember that all of the statistics that we see, they each have a name and a face. And each individual is created in the image of God. So at this time, I'd like to share a few client stories. Our nurse Amanda was seeing a woman for an ultrasound, and she had stated that she was determined to have an abortion. She had several abortions in the past, and she did state that she believed that the child inside of her was a lump of tissue. Our nurse Amanda said, "If you will allow me, I would like to show you something." And on the ultrasound screen, she said, "This is the spine, this is the head, the hands, the feet, the eyes." And the woman started sobbing. And to our knowledge, she continued with her pregnancy and now has a beautiful baby. We're so grateful for that. It is also amazing to see parents coming in with their children for our parenting program appointments. So parents that we have seen in pregnancy wanting to have an abortion, they now come in with their 2-year-old son for a parenting session. And just the joy that child brings to our office is just such a miracle, and we're so grateful for that. We also just had a client in our office this past week for a parenting session, stating with our parenting coach that she remembers finding out that she was pregnant and not knowing what to do. And she said that she didn't know what she would do without us. At the time, she was unemployed, and this pregnancy was very unplanned. And now she has full-time work, and her beautiful daughter is almost 1 year old, and she's just such a ray of sunshine. And we are so grateful for stories like this that happen every single day. So how do we move forward? How do we continue working together as the hands and feet of Christ to honor the sanctity of all life in our communities at the ground level? This is a big question, and one that I am constantly learning how to answer. If today you are wondering, how is God calling me to honor the sanctity of life? Or how do I speak to someone in my own life who may be considering abortion, or who has opened up about having an unplanned pregnancy, or who has had an abortion in the past? Here are some practical steps that I thought that I would share with you. Number one, I invite you to pray. Honestly, prayer may sometimes seem like a cop-out answer, but no. Prayer is the most important thing that we can do. God hears and answers our prayers. And I am constantly reminded of Ephesians 6:12, which says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." This is a spiritual battle, and being in prayer and in the Word of God is how we must live, and it is how God opens our hearts and eyes to those around us and to how He is calling us to act. Third, I invite you to listen and interact to those around you with grace and truth, especially if they open up about a past abortion or if they are considering abortion as well. In the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." At New Life, we pray that God continues to give us soft hearts to truly listen to the stories of those around us. We all need a Savior, and we are all dead in our sins without Christ. So I invite you to consider who God has placed in your path, whether it's a parent that you know who needs support, someone who is pregnant who you know who needs support, and in love, help them understand their need for Christ and the hope that is available through Him. And then lastly, thirdly, I invite you to consider sharing some practical resources. So continue becoming familiar with the work of New Life, with the work of other pregnancy centers in the area, and also with the ministries that your church provides as well. I do want to share that we have a Lunch and Learn event coming up on February 14th, which is, I'm hosting it. It'll be a wonderful time of meeting our staff, hearing client testimonies, and being encouraged in the mission to honor life in our communities. I also want to share, if you are at all interested in joining our prayer group, I invite you, anyone is welcome to come pray in our office on Thursday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. You can see me for more details about that. Or you can also join our text prayer group as well. So whenever there is a client in our office with a situation that is very difficult and weighty, we want to be in prayer for the child in the womb and for the mother. So we send out a prayer text. We have about 1,000 people on this prayer text chain. If you are interested in signing up for that, I have the QR code and number that you can text at my information table today. Lastly, if you have any questions about New Life, I would love to talk with you and to get to know you and hear your story as well. New Life is here in the community as a resource for you, to come alongside you and encourage you and equip you as we all work together to honor the sanctity of life, both in the womb and outside of the womb as well. Thank you again for hosting me today. I am so grateful, and I will be available after this and during the service as well. But if it's all right with you, I would love to pray and then close our time together. So please pray with me. Father, I thank you and praise you for this opportunity to worship you and to come before you as believers, as your children. Lord, I thank you for this church community that you have knit together. I thank you, Lord, for saving us and for the hearts that you have given us to serve those who need hope. Lord, I lift up the events of our world to you, knowing that they are in your hands. Lord, would you continue to change hearts and minds? Lord, by your grace and mercy, would you continue to reveal your truth to those who are in need of truth, Lord? Lord, I pray for help as well. Would you help us to know what to do, what to say, how you are calling us to honor life, life in the womb, life outside of the womb, Lord. We give this morning to you, and I pray a blessing over everyone here this morning. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you all so much again. God bless you all.